Today we're going to study a very interesting subject, and for the majority of people it's a source of worry. It is that of the death and its phenomena. It is certain that the majority of human beings try to avoid talking about death, and this because we are very attached to sensual pleasures, we are very attached to matter. The ignorance in which we are on this subject means that the topic of death is ignored by all of us. We remain evasive on this subject. We find justifications, embellished, pleasant answers, which are only refuge to explain the death, such an interesting subject. We are therefore going to study this theme of death, even if it is increasingly difficult to address in these times where degeneration has taken over all areas of society and has also reached all sense of human being. There are many theories, hypotheses, many books have been written on death, and we find ourselves unfortunately in a labyrinth of countless theories on death. We must therefore work on the development of the latent faculties of the human being, so that everyone can verify for themselves and understand directly this very interesting subject that is death. We will therefore begin with this very ancient sentence, which declares the path of life is formed by the prints of the hope of death house. This is very interesting sentence because it tells us that life and death are connected, are linked. When we study this subject of death in depth, this fear that it gives us disappears. This fear of death is due to ignorance. It is due to all the ignorance that we have about the dimensions of nature and the phenomena that occurs in it, the objective that we have in life, etc. You know, we live like machines, like programmed robots, tip workers. We work to feed ourselves. We are born, we grow, we reproduce like small animals. We grow old, we age, and we die. And that's it. We are therefore required to explore the subject further. In other times, human beings had developed some faculties. For example, in the Lemurian age, the Lemurian humanity, in which the third race of the planet Earth lived, they had awakened inner faculties. They have a positive clairvoyance, for example. They had the capacity to see the superior dimensions of the world, of nature. This allowed them not to be afraid of death. They knew when they were going to die, more or less, and by themselves dug their own graves so that their heads were pointing towards the north. They greeted joyfully their families to say goodbye, without tears or screams, because the families knew that they could see them in other dimension after the death of their physical body, because they will be visible thanks to their faculties. Faculties in us that we have lost because of degeneration, because of the manifestation of our different psychological defects. So the path of life is formed by the tracks of the hooves of the horse of death. But what is death? Well, death is the cessation, the stop of all organic fusions. Our body is stopped functioning. It is not correct to say this person is dead. No. The person who thinks, who feels, does not die. His physical body no longer functions. His vehicle no longer functions. But in reality, that's all. All organic functions stops. Okay. That is what the death is. In fact, death is a reminder of fractions in which the values are found. That is what remains. The physical body stops functioning, moves away, and the values remain. To better understand the phenomenon of death, people tend to look at fantasy. They seek to guess, to speculate, to seek psychological refuge on the subject of death, and this because of our attachment to material things, to the development of sensual pleasures. This is why we invent many things about death, but we all know this phenomenon of death, because we all experience this mathematical process which happens at the moment of death, every time we go to sleep. This means that sleep is like a little death. It is a terrible reality of popular wisdom. Sleeping is like a little death. When we fall asleep, exactly the same phenomenon occurs as the process of death. When we go to bed, to rest, we fall asleep, don't we? We leave our physical body in the bed with the vital body, which remains there to precisely revitalize the physical body. So we split with our astral body and we go into the world of the fifth dimension, or the world of eternity, also called, the world of dreams. The psychological body, the physical body, therefore, remains lying in bed, or vital body, too, since it is it who revitalizes it, revitalizes the physical body. And we are connected to the physical body by the cord named the cord of Antakarana, the cord of life, or the silver thread. This cord of Antakarana cannot be cut by accident or because someone wants to cut it from us. No. It connects our essence to the physical body. We can go to another planet. We can go to another country, wherever we wish to go, because this cord extends to infinity. It can also be shortened to a minimum. It guarantees a return to the physical body, and this happens every night. Every time we go to sleep, it is always like this. It is a natural phenomenon. It is something which belongs to our nature. At the moment of death, it is exactly the same thing. The physical body remains as well as the vital body. We split into the astral body in the fifth dimension. The only difference being that the silver cord is cut. When the silver cord is cut, we can no longer return to our physical body. But it is the same process. The same phenomenon, death is like a very long sleep, while the sleep of our night is only a little death. So we experience the same process of death when we go to sleep. So making such speculations, such as that there is a tunnel with a light at the end, that this or that, they are just speculations. What happens when we fall asleep? Do we realize that we are sleeping? Do we realize that we are dreaming? Are we then aware of this process? Most of the time, it is only when we wake up, that we in the morning, in our bed, that we realize that we were sleeping. And when we were sleeping and dreaming, we thought that we are awake in our daily activities. It is the same. It happens the same when the dead arrives. We don't realize that we are dead, as we have not, during our lifetime, done everything or anything to awaken our consciousness, and we have not taken care of eliminate, to destroy all these psychological defects that we have inside us, so that we can awaken our values, our positive aspects of the being. Then, when we die, it is the same. We don't realize that we are already dead. We have never tried to consciously split ourselves to go into the astral body in consciousness. We have never lived working consciously to earn our daily bread. Never lived consciously when we were feeding ourselves. We have never been busy awakening our consciousness in everything we did and everything we do. At the hour of death, we don't even realize that we are already dead. We think that we continue to be alive and we continue to miserably do the same things that we did during our lifetime. This is what happens when we are dreaming. We repeat what we did during the day, during our life. If we work in a factory during the day, we continue to do it while dreaming. We continue to work in our factory. Everything we do during the day, we repeat in the dream world and after we die. We thus gain exactly the same things that we did during our lifetime in our physical body. In life, we project our dreams and desires into the dream world, just as in death. We do the same thing. So, death is not something extraordinary. We experience it every night. When we lie down and fall asleep, we are experiencing the process of dying. The astral body will split and leave our physical body while remaining connected to it by the antakarana cord. It is the same during death, except that this silver cord will be cut. If we understand the process of sleep, the process of falling asleep, we will then understand also the mystery of death. If we awaken our consciousness in the dream world, then at the hour of death we will be prepared and we will be conscious during the dying process. How does death occur? There are different types of very interesting energies that circulate our body. At 10.5 months, the energy of growth begins to circulate within us with its wonderful metabolism and changes in our body. 4.5 months from conception, the motor energy, the motor and muscular energy, or maybe a little bit early, begins to circulate in our body, so we move inside the mother womb. At 2 or 3 years old, the fontanel closes to soft spots, which indicates that we have lost the positive clairvoyance that baby has, because we are born with a positive clairvoyance developed because the physical defects have not yet entered us completely, which means that a baby can see the death, he can see the elementals of nature, he can see the different dimension of the cosmos. This is why we see the baby from time to time fixing his gaze on a wall or towards a plant with which he can communicate, and he laughed to himself because he has positive clairvoyance. When the fontanel closes, when the soft spots closes, this positive clairvoyance is lost. When the fontanel is closed, it means that our neural system is fully formed, and this thanks to another type of energy. Which one is it? Well, from 0 to 7 years old, the human personality is formed. But what is the human personality? It is an energetic shell that serves as a vehicle for us to manifest ourselves in the society. It is a way of speaking, of discussing, of eating, of smiling, of laughing, of walking. All of this form part of our personality. This it is acquired and formed from the age of 0 to 7 years old. This is an energetic shell that we form during our first 7 years of life. It is never the same each time we take on a new physical body. Because that was the case, we would not be in tune with society. Imagine that a Roman soldier reincarnates today. It will express in a very ancient manner. It will have some different ideas, so he would be not capable of adapting to our time. Imagine the personality of a person from the Middle Ages. If this person lived today with that personality, she would not be in agreement with our life today, with today's society. A new personality is formed every time we take a physical body, and it is formed during the first 7 years of life. Around the age of 14, the personal energy is formed, which makes all the secondary sexual characteristics of the individual function. The young man has a deeper voice. The voice of the young girls is higher pitched. it begins to have feminine forms, etc. And all of this thanks to this energy, which is so important, so powerful, so terrible, which is creative energy. At the age of 35, another type of energy circulates within us, which causes us to mature. And we seek one of the four existing paths to find the truth. Of course, this happens mechanically, and it can happen at the age of 14, or 20, 40, etc. It doesn't matter, but in a mechanical way. Thanks to this type of energy which seeks the maturity, we seek one of these four paths. And what are these four paths? The path of the monk, the path of the fakir, the path of the yogi, and the path of the balanced man and woman. The path of the fakir is the search for domination over the physical body. The path of the monk is the search for domination of emotions. The path of the yogi is the search for domination of the mind. And the path of the balanced man is the search for balance, physical development, emotions, mind, and will. The first three paths, that of the fakir, the monk, and the yogi, are preparatory paths in order to have the maturity to then enter the fourth path. At age 35, we search mechanically for one of these four paths, but we repeat it. With gnosis, we can find these four paths, this direct path, which can lead us to the truth. The last type of energy that circulates in our body is the energy called the death ray, the ray of death. It is an energy that we cannot resist because we are not prepared for it. It reduces us, of course, to our values alone. Then the silver cord, the cord of Andhakarana, is cut and the functioning of the physical body comes to a halt, and therefore death. There occurs because of a very high voltage energy which we cannot resist. It circulates in our organism and reduces us to our fifth molecular essence. Just as a ton of flour can be reduced to a few drops of perfumed essence. When we die, we are reduced in value. Death being a reminder of fractions, of values, therefore. The ray of death reduces us to our values. That's all that remains, what we are. This is what happens at the moment of death, when the ray of death passes through us. Do not think that death is something mechanical, unconscious. That one can die here or there without any reason, organization, without intelligence. Nature is intelligent. If we observe the birth of a plant, and we did it at school, in classes, we grew beans or another plant, we saw how a plant, was born. And it is incredible to see the geometry of a plant, to see the intelligence that gives birth to a plant. All the processes of nature have intelligent principles which direct and guide it. We can call these intelligent principles the Deva. In Sanskrit, we can call them gods, speaking like the Maya, the Aztecs, the Incas, or the Egyptians. We can also call them angels, as we do in the Christian religion. We can also call them masters. We can call them whatever we wish. In any way, these higher intelligences, these divine intelligences, direct the processes of nature and also direct the processes of life and death. Therefore, the angels of life and angels of death exist. Let us call them this way, because we are more accustomed to speaking like that. They are superior beings who are beyond good and evil, beyond what is good or what is bad. They are not perverse. They do the work they have to do. The angels of light are those who connect the essence to the germ cell, when the sperm head enters the egg cell. They connect it, just at the moment, the cord of Antakarana, the cord of life, to the essence, and then life begins. Interrupting this life is an offense against nature and against divine principles. From the moment the sperm unites with the ovum, when the first cell is formed, the silver cord, the cord of life, the Antakarana cord is connected to the essence. And if the essence enters at our first inspiration, it is already connected, it is already alive. Everything that happens to the fetus, to this baby, its essence will feel it because they are already connected to each other. The cord of life has already been connected. It is alive even if we want to justify abortions. That concerns us, obviously. But let's not then cry because of the karmic consequences that we will have to reap later. Because we have destroyed a life. We have destroyed the work of these divine intelligences forming a new life. The angels of life are found in the four dimensions, and there are seven fundamental dimensions, but we only perceive three. In the fourth dimension, or fourth vertical, that Albert Einstein called hyperspace, these angels of life live because of the chromosomes are in intimate relationship with the fourth dimension. The angel of life also form the vital body when the physical body is being formed. It is a huge job, so there is an intelligence in the design there. How is it possible for the male gamete to go through gametogenesis? The sperm loses 23 chromosomes, officially 23, but esoterically there are 24, because there are 48 chromosomes which are contained in the germ cell. The sperm has 48 chromosomes, and the ovum also has 48. Each one loses 24. For the materialistic science, there are just 23. So, by uniting them again, they form the 46 chromosomes for materialistic science. But for us, the Gnostic Sotheists, we affirm that they are 48. So we see that mathematics is found in everything, and for there to be mathematics, there must exist an intelligence which supervises and organizes all of this. All these belonging to the domain of mathematics. And for all mathematics, there is an intelligence which supervises and organizes all this. Then, the cellular dance occurs. These small cells, which divides into 2, then into 4, then into 16, and then the fetus is formed little by little. A new being is formed. A new life is there. We can therefore see intelligence. These intelligences are divine principles, which are the angels of life. The angels of death are the one who cut the silver cord, the cord of Antakarana. And they do it at the exact moment. They never make a mistake and don't think they've got the wrong person. No. To think that this can happen is just pure fantasy. The angels of death are beyond good and evil. They have perfect intelligence. They are omniscient and therefore perfectly know the moment, the exact moment of our death. Each of us has our exact moment to die. It is because the angels of destiny deposit values in us so that we live. If we waste these values and if they end, the angels of death must cut the silver cord. But if we save these values that they have deposited in us for us to live, we can live longer. So it depends on us. It's like if our company is giving us money to take a trip. If we waste money, we won't be able to get to our destinations. But if we pay attention to our spending and save, we will be able to travel even further. Such is life. Our lifetime depends on how we save or waste the capital that has been given to us to live on. If we drink alcohol, if we take drugs, if we constantly have negative emotion at every moment, then we are wasting our vital values. The angel of death lives in the fifth dimension, in the same world of dream. They are perfect angels who have the appearance of innocent children or magnificent young girls or venerable old men. But when they do their work, they take on a spectral aspect without sight, with which they cut the silver cord, and they do it at the precise moment when they must do it. We may not have wasted our values, but we are completely asleep walking down the street hypnotized, like sleepwalkers, and a car can run over us. Then our physical body is destroyed because we were unconscious, asleep, and the angel of death must cut the silver cord because our physical body is destroyed. It was not our time to die, but as our physical body is destroyed, the silver cord must be cut. This antakarana cord is a thread of life that connects us to the physical body. At the hour of death, what continues? What continues beyond death? To know this, we must first know what ends with death, what stops with death, what is left in the grave. What remains in the grave is, of course, the physical body, which is placed in a coffin and which over time becomes filled with worms and insects. Then this body becomes a skeleton. It is all that remains of the physical body. What is preferable, you know, is the cremation of the physical body for the health of the planet, and it helps the deceased also. The cremation is preferable because in the cemeteries there are very negative energies, and we give a very bad time to the essences found in the cemeteries. There is also a lot of black magic, witchcraft in the cemeteries. Many physical and psychological illnesses are due to cemeteries. It is for these reasons that the health of our planet and for our disease that we should choose cremation of the body. We have a lot of attachment to our physical body after the death, of course, and this attachment means that we stay longer in cemeteries next to our physical body, and we spend quite unpleasant and useless moments in this place. It is better to burn our physical body like this. Like doing so, the essence loses this attachment to the physical body because it no longer exists, and it can therefore continue the post-mortem process. So, in any case, the physical body remains as well as the vital body, which remains above the physical body. The vital body was the one that gave life to the physical body, and this vital body decomposes as the physical body decomposes. The personality that we had created during our first 7 years of life in that reincarnation, and which allowed us to manifest ourselves in the today's society or the time, the society of the time that this person lives in, also remains in the cemetery. This personality wanders and goes everywhere it used to go during their lifetime, to the place where she lived, to the place where she worked. It goes to the places where it was going during their lifetime, with friends. But she is just an energetic shell. It is not the soul. It is simply just a vehicle that we created to manifest ourselves in society. It is what we wear, how we dressed, how we ate or loved. Personality is what we acquired with our education, what we learned from the example of our parents, family, etc. our culture. This is our personality, the way of expressing ourselves, the way of speaking. This is what personality is, an energetic shell that we created during the first 7 years of our life and which was strengthened with life experiences. She also goes to the cemetery. She also decomposes. It takes longer than the physical body and the vital body to disintegrate. It can take centuries to disintegrate, whole, entire centuries. And it is therefore possible that 10 personalities of the same individual can come together because of psychological affinities. For example, a person, an individual is born, he creates a personality during these first 7 years of that life, he grows up, he ages, and he finally dies. The personality, the physical body, and the vital body are rejected, right? So, the soul escapes, and the soul reincarnates. And the soul forms another personality during the first 7 years of life. He grows again, he ages again, and he dies. So, he forms another personality, right? There are two personalities rejected. Well, this can happen every life, right? But we can put together even 10 personalities rejected by the same individual after their 10 reincarnations. These 10 ex-personalities who were rejected at the hour of death unite thanks to psychological affinities, and these energetic shells. His ex-personality will take centuries to disintegrate. These energetic shells that are personalities or ex-personalities are precisely the famous ghost that some people have come to see. These ghosts are not the souls of deceased people. They are just energetic shells that we have rejected, and they are made of energy or quantas. These quantas being packets of energy vibrating at a certain speed. When the speed of vibration of these quantas then slows down, these personalities can be visible in the physical world. So they produce those phenomena of the ghost. Let's see a very unusual anecdote happened to a taxi driver. One evening, the taxi driver took a lady for an errand, and she asked him to take her to different places in the city, to different churches, and finally to take her to the cemetery of the city. As she had no money to pay him, she gave him a small gold medal and told him to go the next day to a certain address where they would give him the money in exchange for the little medal to pay him. This driver accepts a small medal and the next day went to the address given by the woman the day before. He therefore found a person at this address who told him that the woman he had seen the night before had died many years before. This is an example of the phenomena of an ex-personality. Another similar case was reported in a city in the north of Mexico. During a dance party, a very young, a very attractive woman arrived. Several young men approached her to invite her to dance. So they danced with her all night and later took her home gallantly. One of the young men even lent her his coat because it was cold, and they dropped her off at her house at the front door, making sure that they will see each other again the next day, pretending to come back to pick up the coat. The next day, this very well-dressed and perfumed young man returned to the house of the night before and knocked the door. An old lady opened the door for them and asked them why they wanted. "We are looking for a young girl who was dropped off here last night." "Oh, yeah, all right," exclaimed the old lady. Yes, insist this young man, because yesterday we danced with her. The old woman was more and more surprised. Did you dance with her? Yes, of course. And I lent him, I lent her my coat, because it was cold, declared the young man who had lent her his coat. The old woman was more and more surprised and brought them into the house. Then there was a fireplace and over it a frame with a portrait of a young woman, and the old lady asked them, showing them the frame, "Is this the young woman you're talking me about?" "Yes, indeed, it's really her," replied the boys. The old lady then said to them, "Well, this is my daughter, who died 3 years ago. If you want to get your coat back, go to the cemetery, and there you will find it." The incredulous young man went to the cemetery, found the grave of the young girl, on which the borrowed coat was placed. And guess what? The young man who lent his coat never put it back on. Well, here are cases of ex-personalities, ghosts, phantoms. The energetic vibration which forms the personality becomes the dancer, and it manages to materialize and manifest in the physical world. That is what ghosts are. They are only ex-personalities of the deceased one. The personality is just that. It's an energetic shell. The essence or the soul of a deceased person does not manifest. What simply manifests is the ex-personality that we take for a ghost. That's all. The physical body, the vital body, and the ex-personality, which is the ghost, therefore remain in the cemetery. And unfortunately, what continues is the ego, the self, the myself. It is formed by all psychological defects: lust, pride, laziness, gluttony, envy, anger, vanity, pride. Our faults continue after we die, and inside these defects, a part of our essence is imprisoned. It is they are who manifest themselves in those spiritualistic meetings and through mediums. It is not the essence or the soul that manifests in itself in these meetings, but the different types of psychological defects. That's all. It is therefore not desirable, and he knows it, we do not recommend mediums or spiritists at all. We do not recommend them because the only thing that manifests in these meetings are the ego, or several egos that the deceased person had, and we want to meet. The ego, therefore, does not disappear after death. It continues, and if we analyze things well, we will realize that as time passes, we have not become better, but much worse. If we compare truthfulness, sincerity, diligence, respect for elderly people, help to our parents, etc., if you compare everything that existed before with everything that is happening nowadays in our world, in our society, in our culture, in reality, we will realize that it is much worse. This shows us that the ego continues, that the self continues in our descendants. We die, we come back to our descendants, and there our egos reappear. Our psychological aggregates come back to incarnate in us. This is what unfortunately continues after death. But what happened after death? This is something very interesting, and we recommend you for you to read the Bardo Todol, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is really very interesting. You know, there are two books about death, and they should not be confused. The Egyptian Book of the Dead deals with those who die psychologically, who have disintegrated their psychological defects, and the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Bharat Dol, speaks us about post-mortem states, post-mortem phenomena, which take place, right, of course, after death. Bardo represents those states or moments that occur after death. The Bharat Dol tells us that we hear four sounds that inspire sacred terror: the sound of the element force of fire, the sound of the element force of water, the sound of the element force of air, and the sound of the element force of the earth. When the essence hears those four sounds, the essence feels a sacred terror. It takes refuge in a cave, which happens to be a new womb, a new matrix. And when leaving this cave, this womb, it remains connected to a new germ cell, which will be born very soon. When you die, what happens then? When the ray of death has passed through us, the angel of death cut of Antakarana, the thread of life, or the silver cord, and then what is called fainting occurs. This fainting lasts 3.5 days, and we look back in the electronic world, or the sixth dimension. We look back extremely quickly to everything we have done in life. Moreover, it has happened that people who almost died have experienced this fragment of this retrospection. We do this retrospection from the moment when we exhale our last breath until the moment we took our fifth breath at birth. This retrospection lasts 3.5 days and is like fainting. Then we retrospect into the astral world, the world of dreams. We don't realize that we are dead. We think that we are still alive, and we start to relive our whole lives that we had in retrospect. First of all, we are at the hospital where we died. Then we see the moment where we were before dying. And then we go back little by little to our birth, to the moment of our birth. This time it is much slower. It is a much slower retrospection with aims to make us aware of everything we have done in life. When this second retrospection is made, we enter the palace of the law of karma, which is in the fifth dimension, in the astral or the world of dream. And therefore, using a great cosmic scale, our actions are weighed. We do not weight our intentions because they are worthless. We weight our facts, our actions. If we had the intention of taking care of our children, they does not matter after all. Did we take care of them, yes or no? Yes. So those are positive cosmic values that are part in our positive plate of the scale. We did not take care of our children, well, that's a negative value that is placed in the negative plate of this cosmic scale. So all our actions and deeds are weighed on the negative and positive scale of the cosmic plate, of the cosmic scale. All our deeds and actions are weighed, not the intentions, but the actions, the facts. Look at how many atrocities the Holy Inquisition committed, which was filled with good intentions. They had the intention of purifying the soul of the woman, so they burned the woman. Is that a good thing? Of course not. But they had very good intentions. When we have weighed the good and bad works, good and bad deeds of a person on the two sides of the cosmic scale, and the scale of positive works, the positive deeds weighs more than the scale of negative deeds, which is rare these days, well then, this person is entitled to vacation. These vacations, these holidays, are given in the higher world of consciousness called Nirvana. If the negative and positive deeds have the same weight, then an immediate return occurs. We take on a new physical body. We have 108 opportunities. If they are not finished yet, then after this life, our good and bad deeds are the same, they are balanced, then an immediate return is taking place. But if the plate of negative acts is heavier than the plate of positive deeds, and the 108 existence or possibility that are given to us to achieve the self-realization. The 108 human life are over, and our negative deeds are more than the positive ones, then the destiny is the Dantesca circles, a hell. It is important to say that they are not eternal, right? There is an end to this suffering also. So, these are the three paths of the final destiny of the disembodied. The first path being the vacations of Nirvana. Suppose that a doctor actually treats and cures people without being very interested in the economic aspect. He fulfills his vocations, he treats and heals his patients as a good Samaritan, and does so throughout his life without mattering money. Well, if he has a lot of good deeds, after that life he is entitled to some time in Nirvana, like a vacation. But what is a Nirvana? Nirvana is the oriental name given to the heaven of the different religions. There are three zones inside of the earth. The supradimensional zone, which is the higher dimension of nature. The three-dimensional zone, and it is the place where we as intellectual animals live on earth. And there is also the infradimensional zone. And that is where we go if we failed after living 108 human lives. In the supradimensional zone, in the Nirvana or paradise of Tlaloc among the Aztecs, also called the Zencali or the House of Corn or the same Aztec culture, the paradise of Maitreya, the paradise of the long hair, they all are names given to the higher dimensions of nature. If we put a lot of weight on the plate of positive acts, it will be heavier than the plate of negative deeds. If the two plateaus of the balance of the scales are balanced, nothing will happen. We return. But generally, our plate of negative actions weighs more than our plate of positive actions. On the other hand, if a person has done many more good works than bad ones, then he will be entitled to a vacation. But that vacation, even though he is extremely happy, has an end. So that soul must return to finish their mission, to finish to live these 108 opportunities and to achieve the self-realization. The only way to remain definitely in the higher dimension of consciousness, like the Nirvana, is by eliminating the ego, the self, which we know continues after death. So we should eliminate it here now, during our lifetime, so that we could live consciously beyond death in the superior dimensions. good deeds are one thing, right? They are taken into account. But that is not everything, because after this vacation, we have to come back. We have to return to a new physical body, because the psychological aggregates still exist, and they must be eliminated. We all have thousands and thousands of psychological defects. We must therefore, of course, do good works, good deeds, but we must also eliminate our psychological aggregates. If we do not do this, and we live our 108 existence without eliminating them, well, with each new life, the ego will become more stronger, stronger, harder and harder. We say these days that children are much intelligent, livelier than before, right? We would say that they are more and more degenerate than before. How come, you may say? They show their anger younger, at a younger age. They are more and more violent at a very young age, and no longer have respect for their parents. They show their lust much earlier than before. What for? Because the same egos return in the different physical bodies given to us. We are given 108 existences. 108. So, in the 106, 107 life, the ego has become so strong, so dense, so degenerated, that the interest for these teachings, for spiritual life, is almost gone. The essence, the person, has no interest for that, because it has insight and stronger and some so strong, so big ego. Many, many psychological defects that happens to manifest at a younger age. Nowadays, the situations we are in right now, the immense majority of humanity are in the 107th life, in their very last existences of that cycle. When the 108 lives are over, then there is no longer any possibility of change. The ego is so crude and so strong that the only path that awaits us is the Dantesque circles, hell. This marvelous work by Dante Alighieri is so an initiatory, esoteric work. The characters that Dante Alighieri observes in each Dantesque circle are the human passions, the ego, which lead us into the world of hell. Right? Let's say that Dante find a very lustful person at the second circle, and maybe a person who commits adultery, and he says his name, because it was so much known back then in the society where Dante lived. I'm sorry. So that character represents the kind of lustful defects that take us into the second circle of hell, right? That's why this work of Dante Alighieri is an esoteric triadic. Dante Alighieri tells us that in the first circle there are people who have not been baptized. This is obviously a symbolic question. Baptism does not mean putting water on one's head or taking a bath. No. Baptism represents the transmutation of our creative energies, making consciously. In the second circle, Dante tells us that there are the fornicators, those who have committed adultery, the lustful, in fact, almost everyone, since we all have these kind of defects. In the third circle, there are alcoholics and gluttons. In the fourth circle, the miserable and the wasteful. In the fifth circle, the angry and the furious. The sixth circle, atheists and bad parents. In the seventh circle are the liars, falsifiers, the violent against art, against nature, and against God. In the eighth circle, the false alchemist. In the ninth circle, the traitors. Eventually, we're all going to go through all the nine Nantesca circles, all of us, because we all have more or less developed defects that fit in, psychological defects that fit in every circle. So we all have a guaranteed place in the circle of Dante. We'll go on this path, practically all humanity. It is not one or two people who go there, but almost everyone. These Dantesque circles are not eternal, but they are said to be because the time that has passed there is extremely long. We are talking about, for a regular person, we are talking about 8,000 to 10,000 years. 8,000 to 10,000 years are necessary to eliminate all these egos that we have created on all this karma that we have generated during these 108 lives. In the end, when all this ego and karma are eliminated, the essence is released and therefore begins a new circle with 108 new opportunities in the human reign. 108 opportunities are given to us to achieve the self-realizations. If we do not do this, the door to hell is always open and we will devolve once again into great pain and suffering until we are eliminated. Every defect that we are unable to eliminate by ourselves here and now. So this is the second path, right? The third path is the immediate return. When we die, there is an electrophysic pattern or design of how we were. This happens in the higher dimensions, and according to this electronic psychic pattern or design, which takes place at our last exhalation, and which will show that we were entirely. If we were drunkards, envious, lustful, proud, vain, it shows. If we were on drugs, also show all the bad we have done, the bad deeds we have committed, as well as all the good we have done too. All this is contained in this electropsychic pattern, electropsychic design. It is this, the one that the angels of light use to form our future vital body, which will be the basis of our future physical body. So my dear friends, the path of life is formed by the footprints of the hoof of the horse of death, and our future physical body is going to be the result of what we have done, of what we have been in this present life. We call this the law of karma, which will be the subject of our next conference. My dear friends, this will be all for this evening. So we will recommend you to deepen this very interesting subject by studying, by reading the book of the dead, Looking at the Mystery, and the book Beyond Death, all of them by Master Samael Aun Beor. Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.